Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome our listening friends to a Friday night edition of Answers for the Paranormal. This is Blog Talk Radio for January 14th, 2011. My name is Bill Posey. I'm your host for tonight. With me in his office somewhere out there in central Bucks County is my co-host Joe Marodi. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Bill. And to be very specific, I'm at the corner of Limekiln Pike and Horsham Road at the Wawa. This is my office. And a greetings to everyone out there. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you with us, Joe. Our ministry website is www.answersfortheparanormal.org. And if you want to stop on by our website and go to our contact page, you'll see Joe's email address there, and you'll see my email address there, and drop us a note. If you have any questions as we talk to our guest tonight and you want to talk further with us, it'd be good to go to our website and click in on our contact page there. The call-in number for tonight's show is 877-455-6692. That's 877-455-6692, and we'll be taking your calls tonight. Tonight is part six in our series that we've titled The UFO Phenomenon, The Real Story. And we want to begin tonight's show with a passage of scripture. So, Joe, could you go to the book of Ezekiel for us and read Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 15 through 21, please?
I will do that, Bill. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 15. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went, they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Ezekiel 1:15-21.
You know, Joe, I've read that passage countless times. I couldn't put a number on it, but you know, the amazing thing is that I never really noticed, and I guess it's just because, you know, we're talking about this subject tonight about UFOs, and maybe that's why it becomes, you know, alive to us as you read it. But I can honestly say that I never really noticed what it was talking about here. And you know, as our guest will just develop this passage a little further tonight, it's just amazing to see how we can get answers from Scripture.
Absolutely. I think what happens is that when you are specific in looking for something, how often we read Scripture, and if we don't really understand what we're reading, it really doesn't bother us. We just continue to move on until we read something that we understand, that's very easy to understand. And none of us would be so disingenuous as to say that they read through Scripture and say, oh, I understand that, I understand that, I understand that, and that. No, there's so much in Scripture that seems to be cryptic. And you have to really look at something intently, and you have to question it in your mind when you come to a passage like this. What is going on here? Why is God telling us this? And obviously,
yeah,
all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's for doctrine, for reproof. It's for our understanding. It's for our knowledge of God. This is not something that is, it's not for all of us to know. It's for all of us to know, if you want to know it. And we want to know it. So we've looked into it, and we brought on guests who have also looked into it, and this is what we want to do tonight.
Yes, it is. I think one of the amazing things, Joe, is that when you look at what's being described there, just the idea of a wheel. And, you know, as I've looked on the Internet and other places and just caught some of the images that are put there by people, whether it be a film image or a still picture image, and you see this exact thing. It's like a round circle. Like, you know, the original pilots that saw these things described them as saucers. So, you know, there is some type of spherical image that comes into view when when people see UFOs, and it just comes, I think, clearer into focus what this passage of Scripture is talking about when you see that, and then you make the connection between what God is saying through His Word and then what is being observed by people. And it's just amazing to me. You know, I hear a lot of times from people, they just say, well, you know, the Bible is just an old book. You know, detractors, I'm not talking about, people who are familiar with God's Word, but, you know, people just say, well, you know, it's antiquated. You know, you really can't find answers in there. It's not for today. And yet, as you read that passage, you know, I'm thinking, this is for today. This is for right now. This is the way that God communicates. And, you know, people just aren't in tune to what God is saying to us.
Well, if you meet the criticism that the Bible is antiquated, and you want to look specifically at what we're looking at tonight in the book of Ezekiel, in this passage, was it happening then? Yes, obviously it was happening to Ezekiel. And what is being described here is something that we are seeing today in our skies, and we have had witness reports of seeing like things in the recent past. So to say that it is antiquated, you have to be ignoring what countless thousands of credible witnesses have reported at the expense of their own, of being ridiculed themselves. They've come forth and revealed what they had seen. So antiquated, no. It's very much for today, and this is what we'll be talking about tonight.
Yeah, for sure. You know, a couple of the things that as I prepared for this week and I was looking into, and just as you go back into the past and into antiquity, actually, if you look at some of the accounts that, whether it be of drawings or of actual written accounts that predate, you know, the modern era.
Right.
And you see the similarities between what is being written about today and observed today, and, you know, what was observed by people at that time and how closely they match.
Yeah, however man was able to record what he saw when there was not such a communication system and a records system as we have today, with technology as it is, however he was able to do it, whether it was scribbling on a cave wall, picking up some sort of writing instrument, and depicting what he saw, the depictions of what they saw were so similar to what we're reading here in Ezekiel, and not just here, and is also very, very descriptive of what we're seeing today. So not much has changed in that way. Now, as far as widespread, yes, because of the advent of technology and the ability to keep records of witness data. So not much has changed. It's just that the way we are able to record and keep information and share information.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Joe, we're going to, as I said, we're going to further develop this Ezekiel passage along with our guest tonight. So at this time, Joe, could you introduce our guest to our listeners?
We'd like to welcome at this time, again, our good friend Connie Huft. Connie is the author of Know Thine Enemy, A Guide to Intelligent Deception. And she was also a featured speaker at now last summer's Omega Conference held in Las Vegas, Nevada. And she's been a guest of ours a number of times now, and it's good to have her back. Connie, welcome back to Answers for the Paranormal.
Well, hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. It's great to have you back. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, same here. Happy New Year.
Same to you and your family.
Thanks. I am wicked excited about tonight because I have got some stuff that is going to just cook your noodle.
Uh-oh. I hope we're ready for this, Bill. I have a weak heart, so don't go too far. I have a weak heart. It runs in the family. So give us the information gently, okay, and slowly. Oh, boy.
Well, how were the holidays for you, Connie?
Oh, you know, they were good. They're pretty quiet. We didn't do a whole lot. We've still been working on our house, so that keeps us pretty busy. So I didn't decorate or do anything like that. I'm kind of not into that so much anymore. But it's just more about getting together with family, praising God for another year.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It can be such a time of tension, and it's such a time when and people who have lost loved ones and who are going through difficult times. It's just the Christmas time comes. It can bring out the worst in people, and can also bring up some very depressing things about what is going on in our lives. But at the same time, when you look at what we really celebrate, those of us who know Christ as Savior, it's a time to rejoice, and you don't need all the bells and whistles. You consider what happened over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, that first night of his birth, and that is so profound. As it blows everything else away.
Yeah, anything that just points to Jesus, that's all. That's what we need right now.
Oh, you got that right.
Yeah, amen. But Connie, I thought that we would begin our show tonight just kind of laying a foundation of what we talked about the last time we had you on our show regarding fallen angels and the whole UFO connection. And, you know, we're not sure who's going to be listening in this time that was listening last time and what new listeners we had. So I thought we would just kind of lay a groundwork, and I had Joe read Ezekiel 1:15-21 for us again tonight as we were beginning the show. So I'd like you to comment on that passage of Scripture again, and then answer this question. Who are the Ophanim?
Oh, the Ophanim, yeah. You know, because we did leave off on the angels last time. And the Ophanim, you know, that whole Ezekiel passage is, there's so much going on there, and we get lost in all of it because it sounds so confusing. But the Ophanim was a shocker to me to find out that there's actually a class of angel called the Ophanim. Never even heard of it before. And it's part of the wheels. And I think the last time I was on the show, we really went through that passage and just described that wherever the Spirit went, these went. And they followed them. Wherever they went, these went. I mean, Ezekiel went to great pains of saying, look, they follow this thing wherever it goes. And when you look up the word Ophanim, it actually means wheels. It actually means chariot wheels. And so they are a class of angel. They are the wheels. So you're literally talking about the chariot of God. This is his preferred method, evidently, as a vehicle. And we don't like to think that way. We don't like to ascribe those things to the Almighty because we think of him as such an ethereal. But then again, he's the one that created everything to begin with. So why wouldn't he? He created horses for us to get around with and oxes to pull carts. And he gave man the idea to create motor vehicles and planes and airplanes and trains and all other forms of transportation that we know today. And yet, you know, you see all these strange things throughout the scriptures where God describes himself riding on the clouds or riding in the wind, the chariot of God, the horses pulling the chariot of fire, things of that nature. And they're vehicles. But they're angelic. They are an angelic vehicle. Just as we would use a horse who is a living creature that we are able to live with, communicate with, and train to do our will and our bidding, it's still an animal with a free will, and it can still buck your butt off if it wants to.
Sure.
You know, so we forget that angels are created beings, and in fact, they're creatures. We don't like to think of them as creatures because all throughout history, we've been fed nothing but lies about what they look like. But the biblical description of them is they are winged creatures, fiery serpents. So, and here we have this Ophanim. So these are some kind of a wheel, some form of transportation. Very interesting. And they follow wherever the Spirit goes. They're inextricably tied to whatever that is. I don't have that passage directly in front of me right now, but, you know, just I'm just speaking from memory here. So, It's fascinating, and it's such a different way of looking at angels. And so that opens up that whole idea of, well, then, what are these UFOs? Are these fallen Ophanim?
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
You know,
hello?
I'm still here.
Honey? Okay.
That was a pause.
Wow, so everybody dropped off their
phone. Every time there is silence, my heart sinks because it's happened to us a number of occasions where we've just been cut off for inexplicable reasons. So when that happens, I'm like, oh, here we go. Yeah, exactly. So I just want to make sure that we're still in touch. Okay. You got something, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Connie, also the last time that we met, we talked about a name that's given to an angel, and that name being Baal-zebub. So could you tell our listeners who this is and what might the connection be to UFO sightings in regard to Baal-zebub?
Well, Baal-zebub was the chief of the demons, chief of the devils, actually. I should make that distinction because there is a distinction between devils and demons in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. It's just most people don't pick up on that. And if you study anything to do with the Hebrew or Jewish writings and backgrounds, there's a huge difference between demons and devils. And he's described in the New Testament as the chief of the devils. Jesus was actually accused of being mm-hmm. Beelzebub. And of course, that was the famous, you know, Jesus says, how can a house be divided against itself?
Right.
If I am the prince of devils. So in lore, in Jewish lore, Beelzebub was, his name actually means Lord. He is the Lord of those that flit and fly. And so he's been given the nickname the Lord of the Flies. And mm-hmm. when you look at throughout history how he just kind of has been the Lord of the airways, the Lord of the air, the Lord of things that flit and fly, he is also the chief devil of sorcerers and magicians and witches who he is definitely invoked through ritual and witchcraft. So he's their kind of, he would be their top, the top guy that they'd want to invoke.
Right.
During a ritual. And that would be very, very high level Satanism. Very, very, you know, you'd have to be an adept to call on this guy. So we know him as the Lord of the Flies, the Lord that flit and fly through the air. So we think of him as the Lord of the airwaves. And right now, you know, in old times, it was probably very difficult for people to even get that understanding of what is the atmosphere, what is the air around us. And now that we live in an age of high tech, we've got all our electromagnetic devices, we've got our computers, we've got our iPods, we've got our cell phones. Mm-hmm. Everything is connected through airwaves.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
radio program is through airwaves. Thus, mm-hmm. we get the cutoffs, the quote-unquote unexplained cutoffs.
Yeah, right.
Because we are invading his space. We are invading his territory. And because Satan is Lord of the Earth, this is his realm. This is his territory.
Right.
And, you know, if you're going to mess with the Lord of the airwaves, he's going to mess back with you. If we're saying something that he doesn't like, well,
yeah.
he might fight back. Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah, boy, we've experienced that, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and a lot of it, it's happened over and over and over on so many radio programs where things have been cut off. You know, it's just been really messed up on a lot of these programs. But yet on the secular programs, you don't seem to have that particular issue. And,
right.
you know, makes
right.
one wonder.
It sure does.
How about that? Well, Connie, thanks for setting the foundation tonight for what we want to talk about. And Joe has some warm-up questions for us again tonight, and he kind of needs them because, Connie, he's in his office again.
That's right.
And that usually means out in the cold somewhere. So.
Well, thank goodness that I have enough gas in my Dodge 1500 and the heater works and everything's going good. There's no police pulling up behind me, so I look like a suspicious character from the outside, but there are good things going inside the cab of this truck. I can
there
assure everyone listening. Connie, the subject of UFOs, I think if you went to the mall, any mall, and you stopped anyone, and they gave you a second or two, and you said, what do you think of UFOs? What do you think they are? I would think that most people a very high majority of them would have an opinion as to what they think they are. It's something. It's one of the most mystifying questions, I think, that certainly modern man has ever pondered. And again, with the technology that we have, we're able to share ideas, share information. The subject of the paranormal and within the paranormal UFOs is talked about all the time now. And so you would think if you picked up the paper more frequently, maybe, that you would see more articles regarding UFOs. How do you think the subject of UFOs and ufology is treated by the mainstream media?
It depends on the media, because you'll get anywhere from flippant, gosh, a bunch of crazies saw another light in the sky, to what is that, and why isn't anybody answering our questions, and when are we going to finally get answers for these things? And so I think there's a wide range. I still think that you're going to get a very flippant response from the mainstream media, and you're going to get a lot of just platitudes. And, you know, they're not going to really give a good in-depth idea of what's going on. You're also going to get it very biased because nobody wants to touch it from a Christian angle. And, you know, nothing is more apparent than the History Channel, which I thought was supposed to be about history, but I don't know if you noticed the entire last year, they didn't have any history shows on. It was all about prophecy, aliens, Nostradamus, future events. I'm not exactly sure how that's history, except in God's book. He knows the end from the beginning. And yet they refuse to take seriously the Christian perspective. And there's a lot of fantastic Christian researchers out there who are very serious about the alien agenda and have done some incredible research. And they just aren't given the time of day. Everything they say ends up on the cutting room floor. And it's all taken out of context. And they might get a minute or two, and that's it. And it has nothing to do with what they actually said. And so it's very frustrating for the Christian community because we are getting the message that the Bible is just a bunch of bunk. What a bunch of fanciful, mythological books. And, you know, all these other people somehow have the answer, but yet, you know, we'll dig up an ancient Assyrian text and that has more credence than the Bible. So that's very frustrating from a Christian perspective to see that kind of flippancy. It's a mockery. And but yet at the same time, they continue to push the envelope. They continue to push more and more shows, more programs are on the splicing of human DNA with alien DNA. More programs are programmed to literally prepare us somehow for Independence Day, for that day when the aliens do come down and take over the Earth. And somehow we've got to fight back. And it depends on what movie you watch. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But it's a continual process where they're just taking people's guard and decreasing it more and more and more. Because the more you hear about it, the more it becomes literally reality in the mind. The more it's not such a stretch of the imagination. If all of a sudden the White House announces that, well, you know, we've been keeping this a secret for a long time, but yes, we have aliens in our midst. Nobody's going to be shocked when that happens. It's not going to be a big shocker. And when you've got the Catholic Church who has already written what they plan on doing when that happens.
Yeah.
And already written their policies on what the church believes when that happens. Mm. I mean, when you, when you've got their own astronomers saying, yes, we're not alone, we do have alien brothers, you know, the Catholic Church is extremely instrumental. There's,
wow,
there's billions of believers out there. So
well, now, how come,
how come
you never hear... You never hear this about the what you've just related about the Catholic Church. I've never heard that over any in any media source. I've never heard that.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Oh gosh, it was a, last year. It was probably the year before, late the year before. It was a pretty big deal. It was in a lot of the mainstream media.
Really?
So.
Yeah, that
I'd
was
have
when
to go look it up.
I think,
but it's
I think
it was Pope definitely
Benedict...
a big issue.
Yeah, I recall seeing that Pope Benedict had come out saying that he would baptize E.T. If and when he meets him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing is that it's such a profound story. It shouldn't be something that's, well, I heard it a couple of years ago. You would think that it would be something that would be more ongoing. And getting back to your frustration, Connie, as far as the mainstream media not really depicting the Christian perspective of the alien UFO phenomenon. I think it's just as frustrating when I see Christians not able to answer when asked what they think is going on, what is behind all this, and maybe depending a little bit too much on, and I agree, when you when an unbeliever is watching programs such as the Discovery Channel and the History Channel, and it has a degree of reliability to it that seems inherent in it, I think as believers, the only way to answer that is with knowledge, is with the knowledge of the Scriptures, and to be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in us. And I think it's part of the frustration for me is that maybe we've kind of dropped the ball a little bit on that.
Yeah, and we're really trying, you know, it's shows like this that we're not dropping the ball. We are finally getting that message out to people that, look, there are a large number, I wouldn't say a large number, but there's a good population out there who has really done their homework, and they're very, very sound, biblically sound pastors that have been either kicked out of their churches. They've been ostracized from their communities that have staunchly done their homework and defended what they've found in Scripture. And yet people are still going, well, you're just a nut for believing that. Mm. And they refuse to look at the evidence. They refuse to actually do the research themselves because of things like the History Channel saying, the Bible is a myth. When you've got, what is it, a 95% illiteracy, biblical illiteracy rate right now among Christians. I mean, it's beyond pathetic, the illiteracy rate. People can't even, they don't even know the first book of the Bible. They don't even know there is a last book of the Bible. They don't even know what the Ten Commandments are. They have no concept of any of the Bible. And yet, they're pretty sure they're a good Christian. And it's like they don't even know what they believe. They have no clue what their belief system is.
Yeah. I think that those were, those were the people that I was referring to more than those who have really done their homework. So, another question, Connie, regarding media. You mentioned earlier that the television program, it just seems to be exploding with paranormal subject matter, and certainly within the subject matter is the subject of UFOs. And there are so many paranormal groups that are running to catch up with all the interest in paranormal activity. You have these guys that get together, let's get a paranormal group together, and we'll go out and investigate this and this and that. And our culture, it seems to be embracing with open arms what really not too long ago it treated with ridicule. Now, do you see this cultural fascination and acceptance of the supernatural and the paranormal as advantageous for intelligent deception?
Yeah, that's a big affirmative.
A breeding ground.
Because there's no basis for truth, because they don't have the scriptures written in their hearts and in their minds, like this, the Bible tells us, we are left defenseless. We have nothing to compare it to. I'm bombarded with emails of people experiencing real demonic torment. Bombarded. And it always amazes me. They're Christians. They're Holy Spirit filled. They read their Bibles. But they've never been taught to test the spirits. Nobody's ever said, look, you've got to understand the enemy and how he operates. Nobody has said, you know, you can't continue to do sinful deeds and expect to get away with it and be clean. That's an open door. You know, you can't sup with the devil and dine with Christ at the same time. That's a passage in Scripture. It is, you cannot do both. And yet, you've got people sleeping with each other. You've got them cheating on their taxes. You've got them bringing in witchcraft into their homes, playing with Ouija boards, doing all kinds of stuff. And then they wonder, you know, looking at porn on the internet, whatever, and then they wonder why they're being woken in the middle of the night and something attacking them that they can't see. They wonder why they're being tormented, and they're freaked out about it because they never really believed that it would happen to them. And then when it is happening to them, all of a sudden they're anxious for help. They are desperate for help. And yet, as Christians, they're like, I can't go to the church. Nobody will listen to me. That's pathetic. It's pathetic. And as Christians, number one, our number one priority should be love and mercy. And we should be doing what Christ told us to do, which was his very first thing when he began his ministry, was to crush the works of the devil.
That's right.
You know, expose the works of the devil, crush the works of the devil. He healed and cast out demons. That's what he did. That's what his whole 3-year ministry was about. And yet, you think in churches today you see that? They'll embrace healing, but they certainly don't want to embrace the other half of it. And if you look at most of the healings, most of them were casting out of a demon first, and then the person was healed.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to be really careful and read and follow the scriptures. We have to be doers of the word, not hearers only.
Now that leads me to a question, Connie, that I didn't have prepared, but just hearing your answer, I have to ask this. How would you respond to, well, are you saying that demons are behind all infirmities, that demons are behind everything that we struggle against? Is it one of those things that we're seeing demons under every rock? How are we to indicate what is demonic and what is not?
That's a really tough question to answer, because number one, because demons are so deceptive, and because they know and understand the human psyche, they understand the human mind, they understand the human emotions, they understand the human physiology and biology, you bet they can get there and they can push whatever button they want to.
Oh, yeah.
They know how to pull our puppet strings. The second half of that is, as Christians, we are admonished to honor and respect the temple. And so we do a lot of things that allow disease and entropy into our lives. There are a lot of things that just physically we do that are just flat stupid because we won't take the time to understand these precision engineered vehicles that we've been given to get through life. We never learn to pop the hood and take a look and see what needs to be done. We never give ourselves tune-ups. We never take the care necessary to keep our bodies in good working condition because, you know, frankly, that's too much work, and we're all too busy for that. Mm. And, you know, Jesus spoke about that in Matthew. In the end times, people will be too busy. They'll be concerned with the things of this world and what's going on in this world, and they will have lost their whole focus on Christ. So it's really twofold. You've been given a responsibility to take care of this temple, so you better do that. When you don't, that is a sin, because the Bible says if anybody sins against the temple, God will have his day with them. If anybody destroys the temple, God will have his day with him. And that's pretty severe. That's tough stuff.
Sure.
But yeah. It's in there. I didn't say it. God did. So it's one of those things where it's kind of a slap in the face and say, snap out of it, folks. You've got to start taking care of yourselves. And are there open doorways? You bet. So, but it is twofold. You have to keep your armor on. You have to make sure little critters don't get in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, you got to realize that critters will get and can get into the house. They can get into the temple.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's spiritual trespass.
Bill, you have a... You want to start off with the questions, with the UFO questions?
Sure.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, I'll start in.
Okay.
Connie, we were talking a little bit earlier tonight about the passage in Ezekiel, and Joe and I were relating how, you know, when you look back as far as even into antiquity, paintings and drawings and things that have depicted, quite frankly, what look like UFOs. And going back as far as some tablets that were written by the Sumerians and those groups, there's a name that comes up that is very interesting. And you bring this up in your book, and how it relates to UFO, and that name is Anunnaki. Could you elaborate on that name and who these Anunnakians were?
Yeah, you know, the Sumerians developed a whole family of divinities known as the Anunnaki, and you have to really go back to the Tower of Babel. And we know that the Tower of Babel was built in the ziggurat form. And the ziggurat form is literally just a step temple. It's not like the Great Pyramid where it's flat. It literally has steps all the way up like you would see down in the Mayan areas down in Southern America. So you have these high houses. They're literally called high houses, these step temples. Which literally means house of heaven or sky. So, and every step or every level was devoted to one of the stars at the time. And if you read the Old Testament, it's very plain. God tells people when they build their altar, never to build steps up to the altar. It's a commandment to the Israelites. Do not build steps up to the altars. And there's a reason for that, because it was a pagan practice. Each of those steps was devoted to a star. And so you have these shrines that pop up all over the place, and you have this family of divinities known as the Anunnaki. Anu means heaven, Na means and Kai means earth. So you have heaven and earth, Anunnaki. So Anu wasn't the god of the heavens. He was just known as the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start to wonder, okay, if we have temples with steps that are devoted to stars, what is the first thing that pops into mind when you think of stars? You think of aliens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who inhabits those stars? You know, and so it's not a very far, it's not a big leap, it's not a far jump to start looking at a lot of these things and recognize that the gods that they worshipped were gods of the skies. They were gods of the stars. So does that make them aliens? Or are they simply fallen angels posing mm-hmm. as gods? If you go to any Bible Gateway or esor.net and just start searching for gods, little g, you're going to find a lot of passages all throughout Scripture where God talks about these gods, little g. They're all throughout Scripture. And these are the gods that they worshipped. It's just that we know the names of them now because of the Sumerian texts. And it's so interesting that these gods are linked with stars and star worships. What did God call his angels? The morning stars.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not a far leap. It becomes very interesting because God did create other beings. We keep forgetting that. He didn't just create us. He created the angels.
Sure.
One other name that pops up, Connie, is this name Ishtar. And the question is, what connection does this pagan goddess have with Satan worship and star worship?
Ishtar is literally all over the place in the Bible. I mean, she's everywhere. And she goes by a couple of different names. She's actually the female counterpart of Baal. And all Baal means is Lord. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So she's referred to in the scriptures as Ashtoreth, where you see Israel's idolatry with the Asherah pole. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but it's Asherah, Ashtoreth. And it has a very phallic connotation to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole story behind Ishtar and that Ashtoreth pole. She is the goddess of love, war, and sex. And she was actually the original, quote-unquote, Mother Earth. And she's called the Queen of Heaven in the Bible and in ancient times.
Mm.
She's literally the matron of seduction, prostitutes. She supposedly had a bunch of lovers. She's associated with alcohol. And Venus, the morning star and the evening star, is associated with her. She is always represented either with the child, the lion, the bull, the serpent, and the dragon. They're all sacred to Ishtar. And all of those descriptions are descriptions of Satan, with the exception of the child.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think that the child would be associated with her?
Literally, you know, if it does mean the godchild, you know, Jesus Christ as a child, you know, it is for his destruction. Because remember in Revelation, the dragon was there ready to devour the baby as soon as it was born.
Yes.
And so you have this dragon who's associated with Ishtar, ready to devour Christ as he's being born. In the book of Revelation, it talks about Revelation 17, come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. And this title was written on her forehead, all in capital letters, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. Gee, who does that sound like?
Hmm.
The queen of heaven, Ishtar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's the exact description of Ishtar. We know that the queen of Babylon was Semiramis, who was Nimrod's wife. Nimrod was responsible for building the Tower of Babel, the the whole beginning of this whole mess that we're in. So you start to just connect all these dots, and you're just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the things that we talked about in the opening, Bill, where you take something, a passage like this, and you an individual such as Ishtar, and you look at it in terms of revelation, and as Connie said, when you start to connect the dots, it's not just something that's ethereal out there, well, it might be this, it might be that. When you really do a study, as Connie's done, you have evidence that's concrete, and it's irrefutable. It's not something where, well, here's what I think it's saying. You can disagree with me if you want, but here's what the Bible says, and the Bible is the ultimate authority. So if you do the homework, you can get answers to these questions that are very serious questions. And it's just something as Connie's giving this answer, I'm thinking to myself, well, man, this really is something that is verifiable by God's word. So it's not something where, wow, what are these guys talking about? It's like, this is from God's word.
Yeah. History is all just over and over. Nothing is new under the sun, just like Solomon said.
That's right. Now, tonight, Connie, we kind of tying up loose ends from the last show that we did on UFOs with you, and we're kind of jumping from one thing to the other. It might not follow any kind of pattern, but you know, it is what it is. So my next question really has nothing to do with Ishtar, but here we go. One of the strangest areas, and this is something that I think a lot of people have at least on the periphery have heard of. One of the strangest areas to explore within this whole alien and UFO phenomenon is that of cattle mutilations. Now, would you explain what they are and how these mutilations might be related to our subject tonight?
Well, cattle mutilations are really interesting because when you really begin to study them, it's not these critters, these poor cows, are found out in the middle of nowhere, dropped off with no tracks of any kind, no predator tracks. You know, a lot of times they're in really dry areas, desert areas. So, you know, it's dusty, and there's tracks. They're going to leave tracks if it was a coyote or if it was wolves or or a pack of dogs, something like that. They're going to leave tracks. And when you have an animal that, you know, because I'm out in the West, but I see this all the time, when you have a pack of animals attack an animal, they don't just go for the kill right away. It's usually the animal is eaten alive. They'll usually hamstring a cow, they'll hamstring a sheep, and then they will start eating out the hindquarters and the gut. That's usually the first thing. So the animal's not going to die right away. It's going to be a very painful, slow, agonizing death as they're being eaten alive. And, you know, that's nothing new. There's proof of that. Biologists, you know, they don't like to talk about it, but that's the way it is. And what they're finding is these animals out in the middle of nowhere are found with their genitals cut out, and they don't even know how they can be cut out. Their genitals are cut out. Sometimes their tongue, their eye is excised or removed with surgical precision. And there's no damage to the rest of the animal. The other interesting thing is that the blood is completely drained from the body. And the disturbing thing that they found is the blood is being drained from the body. We talk about the life is in the blood. You can do a whole study on the blood, and I have that, you know, on MP3 for people when they go to my website, and they can get on my mailing list, and you'll get the MP3 of the whole teaching on blood. But that blood is completely drained from the animal when it's alive. And that's disturbing, because that would be not only painful but horrifying for the animal, to be drained of its life force.
Right.
The other aspect of it is that they still don't know how it can be done with such surgical precision. It's like a laser did it. And it's always the sexual parts. What? You know, we just don't know of an animal that can do that. Or of
right.
a human that can do it with such intensity. And the other thing is, too, is that it's not just horses and cows that this is happening to.
Mm.
They've found humans that this has happened to. And that's just not reported of as often. But it's the same thing. They're always found out in the middle of nowhere, stripped buck naked, blood drained, with these strange surgical excisions made of their genitals and eyes. And, you know, so you're like, ew, that's just weird and creepy. What would do that? Why would they do that? What would they need that for?
Mm-hmm.
And when you go back in scripture, cows were used as a form of covering your sin. You would sacrifice a bull or a heifer.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain cases, a red heifer was very sacred in Old Testament times. So you get into that whole idea, and you can work this in with crop circles as well, where you get into this whole idea of, again, it's a mockery of how God laid out the redemption and covering of sin.
Mm.
If they're literally draining the life blood from a bovine animal, which is considered good enough to cover your sin in the Old Testament. And then they're doing crop circles, where you also had grain offerings in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a connection between the two. And we just flat don't know how they're doing it. We do not have that technology. And yeah, you'll find all kinds of stories on the internet and all kinds of stuff on the History Channel and stuff like that where they've debunked this.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is animals don't do that.
No.
They don't work that way, you know. Wolves and coyotes don't do that.
Well, how is it possibly, what possible explanation can science or investigators offer in such cases where there is such surgical precision? And how random are, or how prevalent, how frequent are cattle mutilation? Now, obviously, if there were human beings that were being mutilated all the time, you'd be hearing about it. But since that they're animals, you're not going to hear about it other than the
yeah, you know what? I disagree with the humans. They're not going to report those. That would cause widespread panic. It's just like the you don't hear about the satanic cult crimes.
Hmm.
It's very rare to hear about the satanic cult crimes, but yet it's one of the fastest growing segments of crime in America is occult rituals and crimes. They never report on those. They'll report that somebody's missing or was murdered,
mm-hmm.
but that's it. They never report the details. We just watched a program the other day on Jeffrey Dahmer. They made the guy sound like a pathetic little idiot. The guy was a known Satanist. He had altars in his home. He had temples of skulls set up in his home. But they never, ever said anything like that. Ever once. During this hour-long program on the horrible things that he did. They'll never focus on the occult aspect of crime because it just freaks people out. And, of course, you know, heaven forbid we should actually tell people the truth.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, we're too stupid to handle it.
I think Berkowitz, the son of Sam Berkowitz, was also involved in a cult that was involved in those sorts of things, too, and wasn't really widespread, the knowledge of his confession of that, but I have seen that he was involved in that also.
Yeah, anytime you got voices in your head saying, go kill somebody.
Yeah, but I'm talking about not just him. I think he admits that he was involved with other people in a cult where there were human sacrifices. That were that's why there were so many different sketches of him where they looked completely different because there were different killers. And that wasn't really reported widely. So it does lend credence to what you're saying.
So, and I honestly haven't been keeping up on the numbers, but I know that the cattle mutilations have just skyrocketed in the last couple of years. Skyrocketed. It's been the people that actually keep up with them cannot keep up with the number of cases that are being reported.
Wow. Wow.
That's amazing.
Moving on a little bit, something that's very fascinating that you talk about in your book, Connie, is this science of chimera. What is it, and how legitimate is it? Am I pronouncing it right?
Chimera. No, I do the same thing. Chimera, tomato, tomato.
Look, I just learned how to pronounce my last name. Give me a break. Yeah.
Chimera is a very legitimate science. They've been doing it for, well, we know at least during the Nazi era is pretty much when it, quote unquote, started that, you know, recently that we know of. But that's where they're literally taking animal and human DNA or animal parts, human parts, and combining the two. They've developed mice with ears. They've developed pigs with human hearts, lungs, kidneys, things like that. Because, of course, you know, it's under the benevolent overall umbrella that this is for the good of mankind, that it will aid in organ harvest for, you know, the organ donor shortage that we have. So it's that kind of thing. I mean, we've been doing pig valves, cow valves in people's hearts for years. You know, that's nothing new, porcine valves. You know, so we've used animals in human bodies for a long time. And it's just now that they're growing human organs, growing human, they're splicing human DNA into the blood of animals to see if they can't come up with an appropriate substitute for our own blood. They're doing all this kind of thing. And this is very legitimate. We have laws in the past, well, just in 2008, they were doing some really freaky stuff in Britain. They were making frogs without heads. They were live frogs without heads. I'm not exactly sure what the point of that was, but it went to their legislature and they said, you know, we cannot allow you to start doing this with humans. They also have been working on mice, trying to get them to have intellect. Well, what happens when that bugger actually becomes self-aware? They're already making laws. You know, if our states and our government is already making laws to embrace these things, then it's being done. You don't make a law against something that doesn't exist. So it's already being done. They're doing it left and right, and it's going to be just a matter of what's your avatar. What do you want to splice yourself with? You want to create a designer kid? We can do that. You know, Splice was a really good movie for people to see. It was pretty crude, but good example of how bad that can go and how freaky it was. I mean, it was just a freaky movie. I don't know if you saw it, but it was...
No,
They were splicing DNA. And they created a hybrid. She used
hybrid
her own DNA.
Beings.
Yeah, hybrid human being. She used her own DNA and the DNA of several other animals and created a hybrid.
Wow.
And then the guy ended up sleeping with it. I mean, it was just the sickest thing you've ever seen. It was like, what? But,
wow.
Okay, this is what was happening in the biblical times. This is what the fallen angels were doing. This isn't anything new. We're told in the book of Enoch and in the book of Jasher that they crossed with everything, plants, animals, fish.
Yeah.
This is where you get your mythological gods. This is where you get Trident. He was half man, half fish.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you get mermaids, half woman, half fish. This is where you get all of the mythological gods that you see. Medusa, she was snakehead woman. Mm-hmm. Centaurs, Taurus, all those things. Those are all half human, half beast. And yet when you look at an angel, they all have human and beast qualities.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just doing what they know. That's just them.
Right.
They're just making a mockery of what God created.
What do you see as maybe the next step for this science of Chimera? How far do you see it going? What can possibly be down the road for it?
Transhumanism, for sure. Transhumanism.
Would you explain that?
What do you want your kid to be? You want him to be run like a cheetah?
Wow.
So splice a few genes in there, you know. What's to stop someone from doing that?
Mm-hmm. And I guess the question would be from, I guess, the world itself would be, well, what's so bad about that? What's wrong
exactly.
with that? If I,
mm-hmm. And yet, you know, if you read in the Old Testament, you aren't even supposed to plant your crops so they would cross-pollinate.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That was against everything. Like is supposed to produce like. God doesn't say something because it can't be done. He warns us because it can be done.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he certainly is the God of order, and everything that he has created, he wants to remain pure. That is mm-hmm. certainly irrefutable within Scripture. So man has synthesized everything, and yeah, I agree with you. It's the sky's the limit for this sort of hybridization, and it all sounds so fantastic, but if you look, things are being done in this field, and I was not aware of it until I read your book, until I looked into it a little bit myself. And the information is there, and it's not fantasy. It really is happening. It's just incredible.
Well, I actually think it's going to go farther than that. It's going to be the nanotech stuff. We're literally going to be cyborgs.
Well, so now watch it. I've told you about my heart now.
Yeah.
This is, I better get to this next question. One more question that I have, and then Bill and I, we both have a couple questions on Revelation, Bill. Let me ask this one before we get to that. Now, this, again, is switching gears quite a bit. Are you familiar, Connie, with the cable show UFO Hunters?
Yeah. I don't watch
it
very often, but I've seen it a couple times,
yeah. They're the guys from the publisher, from UFO Magazine. Well, anyway, they do a bunch of shows, obviously, investigating the UFO phenomenon from a scientific and a point of fascination, certainly not a biblical background. So there is this segment, and they've done a couple shows about this. There is a segment within ufology which believes that governments have been reverse engineering alien technology for decades. Advances in communications to the aircraft we see in our skies today. What are your thoughts in this area as far as reverse engineering?
I believe it absolutely 100%. And the precedence biblically for that is the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was something that you have an entire population of people that were united in their thinking and one purpose. Their whole purpose was to build a tower to heaven to declare war on God. That was the whole purpose for the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, God himself said, well, they will do it unless I do something. They're of a united mind. They can create it. So that's when he came down and he confused the speech. That's where
mm-hmm.
we got all our different languages, and then he scattered
yeah.
the people. So you already have that precedence. And very interesting when you study who Nimrod was. There's a scripture in the Bible that has been mistranslated, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's talking about Nimrod. And I believe it was saying that, yeah, he was a warrior for God or something like that. And that, mm-hmm. that's mistranslated, and it's a known mistranslation. It's not anything new. But that should read, he rebelled against God.
Mm-hmm.
And Nimrod became a mighty man. And that word mighty is Geborim. And it is one of the incidents, not all of the mighties, not all of the Geborim throughout the Old Testament means a hybrid or a giant. But he
mm-hmm.
became a mighty man, a Geborim. So there was some kind of very interesting tampering going on there with Nimrod himself. And we don't quite understand what that was, but we believe that he somehow got this angelic technology, and he literally became a hybrid himself. He changed his DNA to become mm-hmm. like a god. And so, you know, that's really interesting because, of course, you know, he's married to Semiramis, which is the Queen of Babylon, which we had talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude was a bad dude. he
sure.
wasn't a nice guy. And so you have that precedence already set for us in the scriptures, that you have a human being who somehow transcended what we know as being human.
Mm-hmm.
How did he get that technology? We know the fallen angels were back then. We know the giants were back then. We know that they got that technology from the outlaw angels. And if
mm-hmm.
UFOs, if aliens are outlaw angels doing what they've been doing for eons and eons, then it doesn't surprise me one little iota if that's what they're doing. You know, they've aligned themselves with our government. And if you really want to get into that, that's Revelation 13,
mm-hmm.
where you've got this really interesting passage that talks about the three frogs, and they're called demons, coming
mm-hmm.
out of the beast, the false prophet, and so forth. And they go out throughout these three impure spirits. They come out of the mouths, these demonic spirits, and they perform signs,
mm-hmm.
and they go unto the kings of the earth, and they convince them of what they're doing. And they gather for battle against whom? God. It sounds like the Tower of Babel all over again.
Mm.
Yeah, sure does.
And then you look at it, why would John say frogs? And I looked it up in the Greek, and it just means frogs. And, you know, so you know, you're a little frustrated because you're like, well, I was hoping for something a little more, you know, intelligent than that. But it just means frogs. But look at an alien. They're a reptile.
Yeah.
They look like a frog. They got the big eyes. They got the funky head. They look like a frog. You look at the descriptions of the locust. How many people say the aliens look like praying mantis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so you've got this reptilian thread going through. You've got this praying mantis locust thing, and you start putting these things together with scripture, and you're like, oh, that's just too weird. It's too too weird.
Yeah.
But yet you can't deny it. You're like, oh,
right.
My gosh,
exactly.
It's right there. It's right in front of your face.
Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Answers for the Paranormal, and our guest tonight is Connie Huff. Connie is the author of the book Know Thine Enemy, A Guide to Intelligent Deception, and her website is www.christianparanormalanswers.com, and we also have Connie hooked up on our website. You can either go directly to christianparanormalanswers.com, or if you access our site, www.answersfortheparanormal.org, you'll see her link right there on our site, and either way, you'll be able to get in touch with her. And we're really pleased to have Connie back tonight to talk on this whole subject of fallen angels and UFOs. Now, Connie, a couple of our previous guests have talked about this connection between Revelation 13, and we talked before about the fiery stones and what that might entail, some kind of outpost that that Satan's building. And what do you think the possibility of a false rapture involving UFO and aliens in connection with Revelation 13, as our previous guests have talked about? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's most probable. I really do. We're talking about beings that have nothing but destruction on their mind. When you look at Revelation 13 and it talks about the beast, I looked that up in the Greek, and the word is therion, and it literally means dangerous, wild animal. Dangerous, venomous, wild animal. And then you look up the corresponding Greek word for it, and it means hunting and destruction, trap.
Mm-hmm.
What do wild animals do when they hunt something? They devour it.
Yeah.
So, Icky, this whole false rapture is just like, what the heck was that movie with Tom Cruise? The remake.
Oh,
The
Day the Earth Stood Still?
Yeah. You know, here these beings come down and they eat humans.
Right.
And, you know, Hollywood may be more prophetic than we give it credit for, but very interesting that the Bible would use those particular words to describe the beast. And it's like, who is like the beast? Nobody's ever seen anything like this before in our memory.
Yeah.
Who is like the beast? I mean, the scripture asks that question. That's what men will say.
Right.
And
right.
So this whole idea of the false rapture, I believe, is spoken of in Matthew when he talks about the harvest. There is a passage of scripture. I don't have my Bible right in front of me, but
24, I believe.
Yeah, there's a passage in there that talks about the harvest, and initially God is sending angels to harvest, but this isn't a good harvest. He's separating the wheat from the chaff, but he's taking the chaff first, if you read it carefully. He's taking the tares first. The wheat and the tares. And he takes those tares, the angels harvest those tares, and they are bundled up and thrown into the fire. And so that may be a clue as to this false rapture business.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, all throughout scripture we talk about elect angels and evil angels, the outlaw angels, God is in charge of them all.
Right.
And he uses
Absolutely.
Them to accomplish his purpose. why wouldn't he use the outlaw angels to harvest the tares?
Hey, he used Herod. He used Herod to accomplish it.
So it's
fascinating. It's
not things that we. It's not comfortable. These are stuff that you just don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. This is not comfortable material.
Mm-mm.
This is way out of people's comfort zones, because nobody's ever really taught them to even think out of the box a little bit and start looking at these things from a different perspective. But all of a sudden, when you see what's going on in our world, you begin to connect the dots and go, "Wow. This is happening right before our eyes." 2012, you have millions of New Agers expecting to be harvested from this earth.
Yeah.
They're expecting it. They're wanting it.
Yeah, it really is amazing how that date has just exploded on the scene. I mean, you can't go anywhere, whether it be in film or TV or even in the news, 2012, and it's amazing to me how like you say, that there are so many people looking forward to this date.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, one of the things that I've come to believe in my life as a believer regarding the truth is that there is nothing more comforting than the truth, and there's nothing more disturbing than the truth. And the stuff that we're talking about tonight really is very disturbing when you can look at it from an anesthetic point of view, where you're not really looking into what the Bible's saying about these things. When you do, you read the book of Revelation, it's a bloody book, and the Bible is a bloody book. So we have to, but the truth is the truth. It's not subject to opinion, so we have to deal with it. And again, it comforts us, and it also provokes thought that, you know what, this is not pleasant, but it is what God has said is going to come to pass. And he gets to call that because he is who he is. Let's see, Bill,
you have a great question there on Revelation chapter 16. You want to?
I think Connie already answered that one. I think she answered that pretty well as far as the connection between Scripture and the alien UFO self. Unless she has any other verses. I was thinking of the frogs coming out of the demon spirits coming out as frogs in Revelation. And, well, I guess that has some tie to the New Age movement. Is that true, Connie?
The frogs?
Yeah, reptilians.
Oh, definitely. They've been thinking they've been thinking that reptilians are coming to save. They're actually, reptilians are considered the bad ones. The grays are considered more benevolent. But the reptilians are actually considered more of the baddies. And, I mean, Satan is depicted as a snake.
Mm-hmm.
He's a reptile.
Mm-hmm.
It just really doesn't take a whole lot to start connecting the dots there. And you look at pictures of aliens and you're like, they're just creepy looking, freaky, reptilian looking things.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no other description for them.
Yeah. I just mentioned the New Age movement and how, as we've had other guests on regarding the UFO phenomenon, and one of the groups that pops up time and time again is the New Age movement and the New Age philosophy. They might be one of the answers to these questions, but what types of persons or groups, Connie, do you believe are most susceptible to falling prey to believing that the UFOs are not what we're saying that they are, fallen angels, but they are interstellar beings from other worlds? And do you believe that members of the major religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, do you believe that members of those religions are not susceptible to, or are they immune from such deception?
No, well, obviously nobody's immune from deception, and, you know, the Bible is very clear that if you think you are, then you are deceiving yourself. If, you know, you just stop and think about that, and if everything you believed in your life is shattered because nobody ever brought up the subject of aliens in church and that they were all over the Bible, when an alien shows up at the White House and says, howdy, we've come to rescue you from yourselves because, you know, obviously, you know, you've got fish dying all over the place and birds falling from the air and the atmosphere is being corrupted and you've got earthquakes and natural disasters happening at a rapid pace every week. You guys need help.
Mm.
And now we're here to save you. All of a sudden, you know, Scripture becomes very clear that there will be a great falling away. You know, where people are going to go, oh, you mean all that stuff I believed in, all those Christmas carols and this and that was just a load of hogwash? Here's the proof. It's right in front of me.
Wow.
And you've got these frogs performing signs. They're not going to come not having any power. They're going to perform some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to put on a show. And, you know, so that is going to completely undermine whatever belief system you have. I don't care if you're Islam. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're Christian. I don't care if you're a Satanist. It's going to undermine everything that you've possibly thought of because you didn't take the time to study the Scriptures. And the other part of that is mentioned in Matthew 24, where Jesus himself says, it's going to be those that are too concerned with the cares of this world that are going to be taken aback. They're so concerned about paying their bills and making money and doing this and doing that that they've completely forgotten why they were put here. And that's where you're going to find, I think, the most where the Christians are, that's where everything is going to wax and grow cold. Because they haven't spent the time that they should. Because we have that horrible world, busy. Everybody's too busy. Busy.
Yeah, so true. And we see a little bit of it. We see it happening now. It's unless you're watchful, unless you're alert, it can creep into your life now very easily. And on such a grand scale, you might think, well, nah. That's not going to happen to me, but I just see too much evidence of people being so earthbound and so tied to the things of this world that we do ignore why we are here. We do, and it's why we are so biblically illiterate. What's the reason for that? Especially in this culture, we have so many preoccupations, so many avenues of entertainment, that it really takes work and dedication and focus to know what the Scriptures say. It really goes against our natures. And it really is something that we need to really, as believers, to be more grounded in God's Word. Bill, do you have another question?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Connie, a man by the name of Jeff Scott, a guest that we had on our first show, on the UFO phenomena, he advanced the idea that he believes that much of the abduction experience that people report, it all may be just implanted mind images. And then this past week I went on another abduction site. This is a secular site. And the person on there described an abduction experience. And he described, and I'm doing the quotations here, the aliens performing mind scans. What do you think's going on here?
Are you ready to hold on to your ticker?
Uh-oh, is this it? Here we go.
Joe.
All right.
Well, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. If you think in your heart, lust in your heart, then you've already committed it. The Bible also tells us, think on these things, whatever is good, lovely, and perfect. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Jesus said, love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and take every thought captive unto Christ. We have new neuroscience imaging techniques that are making just unbelievable breakthroughs into understanding the human mind. And it's blowing away everything we ever thought about how we think. And it turns out that science is just barely catching up to the Bible. Because they're finding out that thoughts are real. We think of thoughts as being just electrochemical reactions in the brain that we just, you know, oh, I'm thinking about doing this and thinking about doing that and flitting about here and there. But what they're finding is that they're real. They can be imaged. They can be seen. They can be measured chemically and electrically, and they can be tracked.
Wow.
They're real. So our thoughts are real. So when the scripture says, as a man thinks, so is he.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
God is just saying, duh, folks, I made you that way. You can create, I mean, the Tower of Babel was a product of thought. They imagined it in their hearts and minds, and they did it.
Yeah.
So if you've got neuroscience imaging telling us that thoughts are real, and according to Scripture, they can be taken captive, take every thought captive under Christ. Why would Jesus say that to us?
Because it's really happening when you think it.
Exactly. So if you've got this idea, and this is a real split, this is a real division among the Christian UFO researchers right now. Are these things implanted mind thoughts, or are they physical abductions? And I say, what's the difference?
Right.
If your thoughts are real, as they're finding and as the scripture states, what is the difference? That blew me away. I mean, really, I was just like, oh my gosh, this changes everything.
Yeah, because
no wonder why we have to take every thought captive under Jesus. No wonder why we have to take it captive, bring it to him and say, is this thought something I should be thinking, or should it be destroyed?
Wow.
Well, what also does the Bible say? It does. Yeah, it does. I mean, the Bible says that you think, and then it produces sin, and sin produces death. And if you know, one of the things that I think we can get lulled into thinking as Christians is just the specifics in the Bible. When Jesus says that if a man lusts after a woman in his heart, he's already committed adultery. Okay, so does that apply to everything else? If I think about, I don't have to report this on my income, or I don't have to really tell anybody. I can cut out of here a little bit early, and nobody's going to know. I mean, I think the bottom line is human beings would not hold each other accountable for our thoughts. But I think the Christian has to ask, if God says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is, our question has to be, well, then what does God think about what we're thinking? I think that's the bottom line.
What happened with Lucifer? He thought in his heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That was his sin right then and there. Bing, bang, boom. End of story. You now become darkness. You are kicked out of heaven. How serious does God take that?
Yeah.
We just don't have a clue. It just this to me is just, it just cooks my noodle. It just boggles my mind. It's just so mind-blowing.
It is, because it's something that we really don't really give a lot of thought to, and no pun intended, but we don't really ponder this enough. Because we're so tangible-oriented beings that if we do something, then that is sin. If we have if there's a physical act to something, then that is sin. But what is it when we think about it? Are we accountable to God when we think about doing things that are contrary to His Word? And it really does shed a lot more light on taking every thought captive. And if we did do that, I believe as Christians, then we certainly would live more victorious lives. We would be obviously not put ourselves in a position where we will sin physically and overtly. So it is something that's completely fascinating, and it absolutely warrants further investigation and a close watch on. Not that we need science to verify what God has already said, but I think it's very interesting, as you said, Connie, that science is catching up with the Bible.
Yeah. I know, it really changed the way I thought. It really changed my attitude about my own thoughts. I'd been practicing for this whole last year to take every thought captive, but I just never imagined how important this was.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought of it. 2 Corinthians, it says that we have the mind of Christ. There's something that is amazing to think about.
Absolutely.
As Christians, we have the mind of Christ. Wow.
Well, we have the Holy Spirit, do we not?
Exactly.
Well.
And so here's the other thing. If you look at the new imaging techniques, the actual pictures of the dendrites and the neural pathways, the new DPS connections in the brain, if you look at those pictures, they look like a tree. And in fact, the neuroscientists actually describe them as a tree. What does that remind you?
Tree
of life.
Yeah, and we have scriptures where the Lord says we need to, when you are apart from the vine, those branches wither and die. We know that those DPS connections can wither and die. They've actually seen them. They've imaged them doing it. And if you're not a part of the vine, then you're going to have a lot of really bad connection, bad branches. And as Christians, we all of a sudden become branched. We are grafted in to the vine.
Mm.
And so this could be that connection where we have the mind of Christ, where we're actually grafted in to those interconnections. You know, when you begin to really study the human body, because the human body is the temple, it's called the temple, and it's representative of so many things in Scripture. And you begin to recognize the intricacies in how everything is laid out, and it all points back to Scripture. It all points back to Jesus.
It does. It really does.
It blows your face. It just blows you up. It makes you realize how little
you
know.
Absolutely. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's no question about that. Do you think, and I know that you've just come across this information as far as thoughts being real, does it shed any light on what dreams are? And because you think of dreams and you think, well, I don't have any control over my dreams. It's just in my head. It's not real. But there are so many things that happen to people with regards to paranormal activity when they're sleeping. So you think there's any light that this is shedding on perhaps what dreams are?
Oh, definitely. You know, and I can't speak, you know, from uber research on my part. I just just reading the scriptures and how Nebuchadnezzar's mind was so troubled because of his dream. The guy couldn't sleep. He was so troubled from his dream. So if God gave him the dream, you know, we all know dreams and visions can be given by God, but they can also be given by Satan. Because he knows what little buttons to push in our brains. He's not stupid. He was there when we were all created. He was probably part of the blueprint process. And so, you know, it makes you wonder. You're like, what is that? You know, when I'm dreaming of flying pizzas, what does that mean?
Right.
Could it be the mind has an imagination of its own? While it's, I think of it this way. During sleep, you have so many biochemical processes that are going on. That is the time when the body restores everything. It rebuilds, it restores, it reboots.
Mm-hmm.
It is doing a lot of metabolic work during sleep.
Mm.
And so could it be, while you've got all your 100 plus trillion cells doing their business, they've got some music playing on in the background to keep them going? I don't know. Make that up. But, I mean, it's a thought, you know. It's just like, maybe they like to, you know, maybe it's their way of expressing their creativity while they're doing these metabolic processes. Who knows? But obviously, when it comes to dreams and visions and the scriptures, that's a spiritual endowment given by God or by a fallen spirit.
It really does provoke thought, especially in the area of the UFO, the alien abduction phenomena. It just opens up a whole new field of thought and understanding that we really have only scratched the surface, I think, as believers.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are blazing the trails, and some of us are following behind trying to catch up, and I'm certainly one of those trying to catch up. You have a good question regarding that, Bill. Why don't you ask that question?
Yeah, one of the people that are blazing that trail, we had Joe Jordan of CE4 Research Group on our show last week. And you're right, Connie, what a great interview. We're really blessed by having him on. Yeah. And he spoke, of course, about having these documented cases. It's his, what he calls his proof. Documented cases of Jesus's name halting abduction experiences. And you also, as part of your experience that you had and your deal that you went through with demons calling on the name of Christ halted your ordeal that you had. So the question I have is, do you believe that this calling on the name of Christ is effective for Christians only, or can anyone just invoke Jesus' name in similar fashion to, you know, the soldier in a bunker, and he just calls on Christ and, you know, he's saved out of his ordeal? Do you believe that this is just for Christians, or can anyone just invoke Christ and be rescued?
Well, there's a lot of anecdotal proof out there that people can invoke the name of Christ and get results short term, usually. It is the name above all names. There's no doubt. Every tongue must confess, every knee must bend to the name of Christ. And we have in Scripture the seven sons of Sceva, who obviously were not Christians, but they had followed the disciples and noticed what they did. And they watched them cast demons out, invoking the name of Christ. And so they decided that sounded like a pretty good idea, And, you know, I just look at it. They were the ghost hunters. The Seven Sons of Skeevas were the ghost hunters of today's time.
Yes.
And they, you know, they were tracking a paranormal case, and they decided that they would go in and help their brother out because he was experiencing some paranormal stuff going on in his life.
Mm-hmm.
All seven of them ended up buck naked and beaten and bloody.
That's right.
And the demonic entity said, Jesus I know, Paul I know,
right.
But who the heck are you?
Right.
I don't know who the heck you are. And
yep.
And that was a reply to, they didn't know Jesus. They were just using the name.
Right.
You know, so it's a case of mistaken authority. They don't have the right to wield that power. They have not been trained. They do not have the right to wield that power. Will it work in some cases? Yeah. But I wouldn't count on the results being permanent. So it's a matter of, you know, how low level the demon is or what it is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, I think, is a belief, too. I mean, if they truly believe, because the scripture says, if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and your Savior, then yes, you do have that authority to wield that name and invoke that name. So there also has to be that spiritual maturity and that training there too.
Right.
Pretty scary stuff if you've ever come up across a demon and it talks back to you. That's not a fun. It creeps me out still to this day. I've been involved in certain deliverance. It creeps me out still to this day. I mean, it's not of this world.
That's right.
To have something like that talk back at you. The arrogance is so horrendous. You can't even imagine the arrogance that these things have. They just flat don't care about you. They don't care about anything but themselves. But when you know how to wield that name, when you know how to use that authority, then it is the most powerful thing you've ever seen. You hear them scream and shriek and duck and cover. They leave. And it is a tormenting name for them. So it is, you know, it's one of those things where you've got a lot of witches out there that invoke the name of Jesus because they read a lot of scriptures, they read a lot of psalms during their rituals and spells. You know, you've got a lot of instances where rituals and spells involve parts of scripture. There's power in the word. We know that. And it's just, you can abuse power. You can abuse authority.
Sure.
No question about it. I have a couple more questions. You know, what a topic and what a wealth of information. So much to talk about with regards to UFOs. It's really overwhelming, and I can imagine someone out there listening now live or if they access the podcast when they at their leisure. And they're hearing these answers from the Bible. We have a very diverse audience, some Christian, but I'm sure many not. So to those people out there listening, when we talk about Satan and demons being behind the whole UFO deception, I could hear the response, come on, are you kidding me, the devil, demons? You want me to believe this? Are you kidding me? How would you respond to that sort of response?
The first question I would ask is, well, how much do you know about demons? How much do you know about the devil? Have you done your homework? Seriously, I mean, do you even believe in them? If you don't believe in them, pretty hard to even want to study them. But they've plagued our society since day one, and if you have an opinion about something that you've never studied, well, that's your opinion. it's not very valid to have a knee-jerk reaction like that if you've never, ever taken the time to even study the devil or demons. So you don't know what you're talking about. The second part of that answer is, you know, as far as the whole UFO thing, Christians didn't really start researching this UFO thing until secular researchers, people who have no interest in Christianity, no interest in the Bible, they do not believe the Bible, started to come forth and say, these things act like demons. So that's when there really got to be more of an interest from the Christian perspective of things. They're like, whoa, if we've got secular people who could care less, who have no interest in furthering the agenda of Christianity, and they're saying they act like demons, what are we missing? You know, so that's a whole part of, you know, how you could respond to somebody like that. I admit, you know, a lot of this sounds so absolutely out there. It sounds so crazy. But then again, we are talking about aliens. Aliens are out there. 50 years ago, most people, you know, that was stuff was science fiction. Now most people have some sort of belief involving them. Even most Christians don't believe that we're alone.
Well, Bill, I have one more question for Connie that's mostly, I guess, speculative, but if, unless you have something else, do you have anything else?
No, you go right ahead, Joe.
Okay. Again, this is just speculation. Connie, do you see in the near future or the long-term future any bombshells being dropped with regards to the UFO phenomenon? You know, information released by some government or scientific agency that would shatter the skepticism that, that exists pertaining to UFOs? Or do you think that evidence will continue kind of as it has on sort of like a graduated course, a little bit at a time here and there? Or do you see something like, boom, wow, that's going to make everybody go, wow, a collective wow from the whole world. What is this? What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to continue to go on the way it has been until Scripture is fulfilled. It, you know, we know that we, the Bible tells us that there will be lying signs and wonders in the sky. Okay, who's the father of liars? Satan. So lying signs and wonders means that he's behind it. That is his native tongue. The second part of that is that they have been pushing for disclosure now hard, really hard for disclosure from our government and from governments all over the world. I mean, they've been pushing, pushing, and it seems like all of a sudden, bam, we're going to get an answer and then nothing. Push, and then nothing. And, you know, and so they'll leak a little bit here, or they'll release a statement here, blah, blah, blah. But I truly believe that it is literally being held back by the Holy Spirit until it's ready to fulfill Scripture. And also praying Christians. You take praying Christians out of the picture, there's nothing to rein it back. There's nothing to hold it back. And so up until the time when it is right and when it is to, ready to fulfill Scripture, then you're going to see the bombshell drop. But they can push all they want. Satan can try his darndest to make it real, make it happen, but he's being held back. Until the right time, until the appropriate time. He's a narcissist. He can't wait. He recognizes that his time is short, but he realizes that he's got 7 years of reign here.
Total
rain coming up. He can't wait for that. That's a short time, but he's like, I don't care. I will rule the world.
Wow.
Yeah, and, he doesn't know when that time is going to come about. So he has to be ready at all times to be able to jump right in.
Yep. So, and I believe that, you know, he's just been doing this. Just keep preparing, keep having the spirit of Antichrist ready and waiting in the wings at all times.
Hmm.
Joe?
I don't have any more questions for Connie. Well, actually, I do. It kind of came to me as we were speaking earlier. Again, a lot of information, and I guess this is geared mostly towards Christians, and maybe the knee-jerk reaction, not maybe just listening to a show like this, but with regards to demons and UFOs and ghosts and all this stuff, I can hear the typical Christian, I just want to know the good things. I just want to follow after the good thing. I don't want to be involved with all the stuff that has to do with evil and Satan and demons. I don't need to know all that. I just want to put my, and they wouldn't admit it, I would just rather put my head in the sand and focus on who I am. I know I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I'll let the other people worry about demons and stuff like that. Well, how would you respond to that segment of Christianity?
I struggle with that all the time. This isn't something that I decided one day I'm going to be labeled a nut job and be ostracized by my church and by other believers because God called me and asked me to study Satan and know my enemy and to tell other people about it. Not something that was on my agenda list for my life. And as a Christian, you know, I think, yes, the ultimate is love. The scriptures say that.
Right.
But if you can't even discipline yourself to love your neighbor as yourself, if you can't even overcome little arguments in your family or somebody cutting you off in traffic, it's mute. The scripture literally says you are a clanging gong, a resounding cymbal. Your works are nothing because you have not love. And so, yes, love is power, and I don't think we understand. We think of love as being a feeling or an emotion, and it's not. Love is power. That's how God created this earth, because God so loved the world, he gave his only son. You know, love is power. We automatically just put love in that emotion category, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to have love and have power, you can't pick and choose what you want out of the Bible. The Bible doesn't say pick the verses. You know, it doesn't say on the first page, pick the verses you like and follow those. It doesn't say that. Can't find it anywhere I've looked. It says, follow this word, write it on your heart, write it on your mind, and keep the commands of the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And seek the kingdom of God. Do what I told you to do. Follow my example. And his example was casting out demons, healing the sick, performing miracles, prophesying, love. I mean, if you want to be a Christian, you can't pick and choose. You either believe it and follow it, or you don't. There is no gray area here.
Yeah.
How
can someone get in touch with you, Connie? Can you give out your contact information?
Sure. ChristianParanormalAnswers.com. If you go to www.ChristianParanormalAnswers.com, and there is a contact page on there, you can email me if you like. That's usually the best way to get a hold of me. And well, there's all kinds of help, too, on the website. I mean, if you're experiencing demonic torment or alien abduction, anything like that, there's all kinds of free organizations out there, Christians, who are dedicated to helping you overcome your situation. You, mm-hmm. if you're a child of God, you need to understand that Jesus loves you, and he died so that you can live a free life. He came to set the captives free. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, we've decided to be merciful and to follow Christ and to do what he told us to do. We are humans. You can't rely on humans for everything, but we're here to serve and do the best we can. And that's what this whole thing is about. So if you have questions, I highly recommend, you know, buying my book, Know Thine Enemy, A Guide to Intelligent Deception. I would really appreciate it if you bought it from my website. I actually make a little bit of money when you do that. If you buy it from Amazon, I get 50 cents for 5 years of intense research. So,
wow.
So I appreciate it if you do buy it from my website. But, you know, besides that, it's just a compendium. It's something that if you have questions that you've always wanted answered and you knew in your heart of hearts that the New Age wasn't the answer or the television wasn't the answer and you've always wanted to know really how to study the Bible and kind of get into it and look at things from a different perspective and a fresh mindset, this is the book for you. It's something that you can constantly refer to and learn from. And it will bring you such a close relationship with God. I get emails all the time. People are blown away because they're like, I just never looked at it that way. I never thought of it that way. And yet you have scripture after scripture after scripture mentioned. So it wasn't like it was just you know, your own thought. I'm not doing this to get rich. Heaven knows I've spent more money. You know, trying to get this message out there, and it's all about being of service, and that's what, if I can, you know, just have one person not go through what I had to go through, if they can avoid that pain and torment, if they can preempt a demonic attack, if they can preempt bad things from happening in their life, then what I went through was not in vain. And what so
Absolutely,
many people
no
are
question.
Going through would not be in vain. So.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I would say this to anyone listening, is that you read Connie's book, and I would say this about any book, it will direct you to God's Word. Any book that directs you to God's Word, that provokes thought, as Christians, we're not going to agree about everything, certainly. But I will tell you this, it provokes thought and it gets you into God's Word. You're not left with Connie thinks this about this and this about that. You are directed to God's Word, and that is what I appreciate more than anything about your book, Connie.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I don't know anything. I'm just a messenger. So just go look it up, go study the scriptures, write them on your heart. Get them in your mind. That's where the real power lies. That's where that understanding lies. And you don't need Bible studies, pastors, all of that stuff. The Holy Spirit says he will teach you, but you have to ask him, and then you have to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to put in the time to study and learn. Books like this can guide you and put you in a different direction of thought and get you thinking about things or researching in a different avenue than you ever thought before. That's how books help. But they're not the end-all be-all. The Bible is the final word, period.
Amen. That's true.
Yeah, amen. Cool. Connie, Jessica says hi.
Oh, hi, Jess. Hopefully she's not enjoying all the snow you guys got.
Oh, wow. And we got more coming next week.
Oh, wow. So much for global warming.
Yeah so much.
Well, you guys are colder out there in Montana, aren't you?
Yeah, we've had a lot of cold snaps, sub-zero cold snaps this year and last year already. Usually we get a couple weeks and then it's done, but we've had several where it's dipped down into the 10, 15 below zero range. So,
yeah.
Things are changing.
Yeah, they are.
They certainly are.
Yeah, it's amazing how things go through cycles like this, you know. It's, you know, probably a couple of years ago people were thinking we were going to have 80-degree summers, you know, I mean 80-degree winters here on the East Coast. And, you know, here it is. We're down in the teens and 20s just about every day. So,
well, hey, for guys like Bill and I who love the snow, we can't get enough of this.
Oh, well, good.
The only problem is that I'm trying to find a snow tube, and I think I have to go in July or June to find a snow tube, because every time I'm an alien. Like, here comes an alien. You guys got snow tubes? It's like, well, what are you talking about? Well, it's January. There's 10 feet of snow outside. I want a snow tube. We don't have any. Come back in July. That's like crazy. So, hey, what can I say? Oh, well. That's fine. Hey, Connie, it was great to have you on. We love you dearly, and you're such a good friend to us, and we've grown so much together, and we've learned a lot from your book, and we look forward to having you back, and we're going to be in touch. And every time we do these shows, as I always say to Bill, we go back and listen to them. It's like hearing it for the first time, because when you're in the middle of doing it, you're not always catching everything that the guest is saying. So we learn so much just going back and listening ourselves. So we really appreciate all the research that you've done and all the time that you put in to writing that book. And there's no question in my mind that God has truly blessed you and called you to a ministry that is so fruitful. And we're just blessed to have you as a friend, and we look forward to having you back in the future at some point this year.
So just sentiments are completely reciprocated. I just, again, appreciate you guys too and the opportunity, and hopefully, you know, people are thinking differently. That's the goal. So
that is the goal.
Yeah.
Well, certainly they will be tonight. We just thank you so much, Connie, for what you brought to the table, and you're right, our hearts are starting to slow down a little bit here, but
that's right.
You know,
that's what I'm going to be thinking about that on the way home. Everything that I think of is in a new light now. So it's going to have a jolt initially, but I know that God's going to use it to bring about a more godly man. And that's what we all desire, unless you're a woman and you desire to be a more godly woman. So great information.
Awesome. Well, God is good. God is great.
Amen.
And I just thank you guys and enjoy the snow.
I'm looking at what they plowed here at Wawa, and there's right in front of me. There's a nice little snow bank in front of me, but unfortunately, it's going to get up into the 40s in a couple of days. It'll be gone. So there's more where that came from.
Yeah,
there are so many different areas in the field of the paranormal. We could have you on every week talking about a different subject. Unfortunately, our wives would not appreciate that. Our kids would not appreciate that. Our employers would not appreciate that. There are so many different things to talk about, and I mean it's inexhaustive, really. So, and I really mean that we really look forward to having you back again, and wherever the Lord leads us next to go into, it's just incredible. Coming away from these shows with yourself and with the other guests that we've had. I'm telling you, Bill and I could never have imagined last August when God set us out on this journey that we would be at the point that we're at right now. And the people that we've met along the way, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I agree. It's a trip. It is quite the journey, that's for sure.
It is. Well, listen, Connie, thank you again, and God bless you and your husband and your family, and Enjoy his blessings, and we look forward to we'll be in touch soon. So you have a good night.
Hey, you guys too. Really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Connie. Good night.
All
Thank
right.
you, Connie.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
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 Well, there you go, Bill.
There you go again, Joe. Go ahead, you can say wow first.
Wow. Wow.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, you know what the bottom line is, really, is it really is all about God's word. It is all about who he is. He is the only one who can make this claim. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He has no beginning and no end. All things were created by him and for him and through him, and all things are sustained by his word. He brought all things into being. Everything is subject to Jesus Christ. And the things that we talk about on these programs, ghosts, demons, aliens, UFOs, they all come under the subject, and Connie mentioned it from the book of Philippians.
Yeah.
Jesus' name, he has been given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so doing a show like this exposes the Satan for who he is. He is a created being. His demons, fallen angels, are created beings. They are all subject to the name and authority of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it's just so good to exalt his name, because there is so much misinformation about what these things are. And I know that we're voices crying in the wilderness out here when you have so many paranormal investigators telling you what ghosts are and what aliens are. And, you know, it's... Nobody has the truth, but when you come at it from the perspective of God's word, he's decided what is true, what is, because he's created everything. He decides what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is sin. And we are subject as human beings to his authority. And the ultimate authority is found within his word. And I think every show that we've done, we've brought Scripture to the table, because it has to start and end with Scripture.
Yeah, it really does.
So, not only us, our guests also have Scripture at the base of what they do. It is their authority for what they do. And it's amazing how God has led them on different paths in their lives, and they've arrived at this point where they have spent time and energy and have investigated these things that we're talking about, and they bring that information to the table for the world, for literally the whole world to hear. We're not the only ones doing it, but it's so powerful to think about that, the gospel going out to all parts of the world. And really the works of the devil are being exposed and destroyed as a result.
Yeah. Very well said, Joe. It's a big amen to that. But Joe, there's there's someone who's going to be listening tonight who, as you said, has heard a wealth of information, an enormous amount to really think about. And there's going to be someone here who doesn't have a relationship with Christ and is just wondering what all this is about. And they may be experiencing sightings of UFOs and mm-hmm. maybe even experiencing visits by... Mm. What they feel as though are aliens, but are really demons, and it's a scary thing, and something that I'm sure that they want to get out from under.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, that we want to bring to every one of our broadcasts, and that's the good news of Jesus Christ and how they can have victory over these type of experiences and these demonic forces. And we always want to bring that out to light so that they can hear the truth, and that having heard the truth, they're now accountable before God. And so that's what we want to do right now, Joe, is we want to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to someone who's listening tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bible says that all of us who are born of Adam, and that's everyone born in this world, we're all born of Adam. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his creations, his actually only his special creation, was mankind. It was the first man, Adam. And it says in the Bible that Adam was created in the image of God. We're the humans are the only creation of God that was made in his image.
Right.
And he took Adam and he put him in the garden to care for the garden. And he gave Adam authority, all authority and dominion over all of his creation.
Uh-huh.
And when Adam was in the garden, he saw to it that he would have a helper. And Adam saw that there was no suitable helper in the garden, that there was no one that he could call his helpmeet. And so God put him into a deep sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And from him, he took one of his ribs and made woman.
Mm.
And the Bible says that when God brought the woman to Adam, Adam responded by saying, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken from man."
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say that for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see in the beginning here that God institutes marriage and the one flesh relationship. And he told both Adam and the woman that they were free to eat from any tree that was in the garden, except for the tree that was in the middle of the garden. And he said that the moment that they ate of it, they would surely die. And what happened was that Adam and the woman came under spiritual attack from the enemy.
Yes.
First, the woman, who was deceived, and she took from that tree that God commanded that she not take from.
Right.
And she ate of the fruit. She disobeyed God. And then it says that her husband, Adam, was with her, and he also took the fruit and ate.
Mm-hmm.
And that when they did that, when they disobeyed God, they fell. And the Bible calls that sin.
Yes.
And Adam and the woman, because of their sin, were not able to stay in communion with God. The Bible tells us that God banished them from the garden. But before he did that, he made coverings for them, showing them how the shedding of blood was important and what that would mean for them. And the Bible also tells us that the wages of sin is death, and that both Adam and the woman, when they sinned, incurred spiritual death, separation from God. and that eventually they both incurred physical death. And so, again, everyone born of Adam, and that's you and I, because of this sin, that this sin nature that we are born with, we too are separated from God because we're born with a sinful nature, but we become guilty sinners in thought, word, and deed in our lives. And so, therefore, our sin separates us from God as well. So, Joe, why don't you go on and talk about what God has done to take care of our problem, our sin problem.
Well, there's nothing that we could do. There's nothing that we could ever say or do or think about or hope for. All that we have is what God has given. There is only, the Bible says, one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. We can't do anything to get rid of our sin. This is what separates us from God. And he came into the world. John tells us that God sent him into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And so it is by placing your faith in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross when he absorbed in his body, took in his body the punishment that you and I deserved and every human being who's ever walked the face of this earth deserved. Tells us, the Bible tells us that he satisfied God's anger against sin. He fulfilled the law, and he was the perfect lamb without spot or blemish, without sin. He's the only one who could have ever made that claim, and therefore the only one who was worthy to be that sacrifice for sin once and for all. It is not a yearly thing that we would have to go through. It's not a repetitive sacrifice. This is something that was done at one point, at God's chosen point in time, for Jesus to die on that cross and for the works of the devil to be destroyed.
Yes.
And so it is by trusting. It's not just lip service. You need to believe, trust in your heart, and confess with your lips that Jesus Christ was crucified and was resurrected.
Yes.
And it is a gift. It is by God's grace that we're all saved. It is a free gift, not able to be earned. And so believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who takes away the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And we were talking a little bit earlier about, you had mentioned about someone who might be listening, who may be a victim of what we were talking about tonight.
Yes.
Alien abduction, alien sightings, subject to all the programs that we were talking about tonight that try to tell you what these things are and dismiss the Bible, dismiss the spiritual. And who knows how many people are out there, Bill, who are victims of these sorts of things. You know, it's not something you want to come out and tell somebody. But I know that we know that this happens. And for every person that comes out and admits it, there may be thousands who don't. And so for those people, I think one thing that they all have in common is fear. They fear what is going on with them. And you know what? There is so much in this life to fear. It is one of the most primal things about man. We fear things. But what does the Bible say about fear? Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And the perfect love is Jesus Christ. When you have Jesus Christ, you don't have to fear demons. You don't have to fear the supernatural, the paranormal. You don't have to fear UFOs, aliens. Because really, when you are fearing these things, it is displaying a mistrust, a distrust in God. Believe what the Bible says. Believe it. Mankind needed a savior because he couldn't save himself. If a man dies without knowing Christ as his savior, the Bible says that he will spend eternity in torment. That's not me saying it. That's what the Bible says. So you can argue with me all you want. I'll just direct you back. That's what the scripture says. You look in that book and you tell me who wrote that book. That was God's book with how many different authors? 44 different authors. Yeah, 66 books. All God breathed. Which means what? He was the Holy Spirit inspired the whole Bible from front to back. And the whole Bible is about God's plan of redemption. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the whole. And, you know, again, it goes back to the world has a lot of different avenues that they want to say that you can get to God. You know, it's Islam says you go this way. Judaism says you go that way. Buddhism says go this way. Hinduism says there's a million different ways. But Jesus Christ is God himself. No one else took on flesh as being God. In Philippians it says he did not consider a robbery to be equal with God. He didn't hold on to his divinity. But he took on himself the form of a servant. No other human being could say that.
No.
And he did this so that he could go to the cross, because he's the only one who could do that. And so, for anyone who's listening, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is the message of the Bible. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Don't think that you don't have sin, friend. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, as what Bill spoke about earlier. It is spiritual death, not just physical death. And spiritual death is an eternal death. But this doesn't have to happen. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So believe and be saved. That is our desire, and it is why we do what we do. It's not just to talk about demons and UFOs and aliens and ghosts. It is all to direct people to the one who created all of those things that are subject to him.
That's right. Amen. Well, the Bible also makes it clear that today is the day of salvation. You know, so if you're listening and you've just heard Joe and I give you the good news of Jesus Christ and how you can be set free from the penalty of sin and how you can be taken out of darkness and brought into light and how you can be made an adopted son of the Most High God. And, friend, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So
that's right.
If you've never done that, won't you do that tonight? Won't you call upon the name of the Lord? Call upon Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of your sin, and to give you everlasting life. It's the most important decision you will ever make in this lifetime. It's a decision that Joe and I came to some years ago, and every day is a struggle because we still live in these bodies of flesh, and our flesh cries out to be gratified. that wants to be satisfied, and there is no good thing that lives in our flesh. But when you call upon the name of the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit that comes and resides within you.
That's right.
That Spirit, God's Spirit, is a deposit that guarantees your inheritance, which is eternal
Amen.
Life.
That's right.
So, friend, having heard this tonight, won't you consider what God has done for you?
That's right.
He loves you so much that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him, and that is you, whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. For
That's
God
right.
did not send his son into the world to condemn the world,
That's
but
right.
to save the world through him.
Amen.
So won't you tonight believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Joe said. Believe and be saved.
Yes.
Well, Joe, it's been another great show tonight. We've been blessed again by our guest, and blessed by all of our guests that we've had this series of discussions about UFOs. And
so true, yeah.
You know, as you look back on what each one brought to the table from all different sides, but yet the you know, the message was all the same. And ultimately what comes out of this is that whatever people experience involving these UFOs, the victory is in Christ.
That's right.
The victory over all of this is through faith in Christ. So we just pray that God uses these shows in someone's life. Someone who's listened in and just has not been sure about UFOs and has been fascinated by them, as everyone is. I don't know of anyone that would honestly say that they just don't care about them.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You know, that having heard one of these shows or all of these shows, you know, they might consider in their heart what they've believed about them in the past, and what we've been able to bring to light and our guests have been able to bring to light, and really what God has been able to bring to light through these shows might change their perception. So, you know, for those listening, just consider what we've been able to bring out in these shows, that there is a perspective that that can be explained from the scriptures, and it's probably the most important perspective that you can consider when you look at this subject.
Absolutely.
And Joe, I want to thank you for your insights and just your love for people. And I look forward to the next time we get together and share from God's word and share the gospel. There's no more important thing that we can do in this life.
Amen. Well, I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for everything tonight. Praise the Lord for your preparation with these shows, your contacting the guests, and praise the Lord for the guests themselves, and for the opportunity to get the word out, get the gospel out, and again to pierce the darkness that it just permeates this life. It's a world of darkness, and the signs are all around. It's irrefutable that this is Satan's world. But his body is here on the earth, and we have work to do. He said, "Tarry till I come. Keep busy till I come." And this is part of being busy, and I can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing.
Yeah. Amen, Joe. Well, thanks again, and good night.
God bless.
God bless you.